trees.
And this is the 3D model that we are working on.
Here, I show you. Thanks. The last. Yeah.
So this research is highly technical, and just to have a brief information about the things that we are going to say this evening. So it is a lecture structure. So we are saying also some technical details about our technique. So this is the agenda. It is a bit long, but I know that this evening we made a bit late, so we try to fit everything. Synthetic aperture radar. Synthetic aperture radar is a radar that is located on a carrozza that is a satellite, and this satellite is shooted into the space by a rocket. And so the radar produces images. The images are produced belonging the radio frequencies, and the radio frequencies are standing inside 10 gigahertz approximately, having a certain bandwidth that is proportional to the resolution. So the spatial resolution is this, and is this one here, delta, and is measured in meters. It's equal to lambda, which is the wavelength, times R. It is the distance, the satellite target distance, over two times the aperture. Synthetic aperture radar, the body aperture, and the better is the spatial resolution. The spatial resolution is a physical indicator that measures the capability to detect separately two targets. Okay, so it's a minimum distance for which two targets can be separated by the measurement system. Okay, and this is proportional to the aperture. The aperture can be tended like the telescope aperture, no? Or the aperture of a microscope. So any measurement system that produces an image is characterized to have an aperture. That is very important. This my phone. You have your phone has a camera, no? On your phone, the camera has an aperture that makes photographs, and these photographs are encoded having a certain resolution according to the aperture. So also the radar is a camera, but is a different camera because the images are encoded, are produced according to the orbital evolution of the platform. The orbital evolution is because the satellite, when it's shooted into the space, is shooted with a certain velocity. And this velocity, we have the satellite that rotates around the Earth, pole north, pole south, north pole, south pole, and belongs 90 minutes to make this revolution, north pole and south and south pole. According to the maintenance of the orbital angular momentum of the basic physical law, this rotation is constant, okay? It has a constant orientation. And inside this ring, the Earth turns during the day, okay? So every day the satellite is capable to watch at least one time on the Earth. So this is a synthetic aperture radar. Is very important to make Earth observation for civilian application. It is very important. So we can scan the Earth, and so make images, radar images of everything, of this, the countries, the cities, the vegetation, for any kind of application. Synthetic aperture radar works like that. We have here we have the platform that moves, and this is, let's say, a target. The target is illuminated by electromagnetic pulses, and the target will give us a response. The response produces the so-called raw data. This is raw data that are just the echoes that we have at the receiver. The receiver is capable to have the echoes, and so the echoes are stored inside the memory, and we have the raw data. How to produce, how to pass far from between from raw data to focused data is the so-called focusing process that is divided in two. We have range focusing, and azimuth focusing, and so with passing through motion compensation, we can recast the photo of the target. This is from here, the target, and we have the photo of the target. And so the image is, in this case, a point target. Of course, Earth is full of scattered point targets. So this is an image that is very nice, in my personal opinion. And I can say that this is a Capella space image. And I thank Capella to because they gave us for free this image. We can see that is a colored image because we have used the three Doppler bandwidths in order to have a color composite image. And in this case, we have a colored image. These are the pyramids here. You can see that this image is a bit different with respect to an optical image because we have a different kind, a different mode in order to project the image. This is a focused image. This is very similar to an optical image, but this is radar. So, just to tell you, we recast about the state of the art of synthetic aperture radar. Synthetic aperture radars are used for monitoring the Earth, infrastructure monitoring. So we can, for example, monitor the dams here, and also earthquake monitoring here. Why? Because it is very important that radar data can be used building in the space an interferometer. The interferometer is a particular device that is very important because with interferometry we can transform the phase information of radar into something that we can use by to make topographic reconstruction. This is the phase. Topographic reconstruction is used to perform infrastructure monitoring because radar is very, very sensible. It means this. We have this object. This object is here. We are observing this object from the satellites. The satellites are flying in the space at 600 meters. I'm sorry, 600 kilometers on distance with respect to the surface of the Earth. And if the target moves also of 1 millimeter, the radar is recording these movements. So the state of the art of synthetic aperture radar is this. We can detect the physical displacement of large infrastructures. That's very important, with millimetric precision.
Yeah.
Just to show you, this is the Mosul Dam, which is a dam that is located in Iraq. We should have a short video, but it is not important if it doesn't work.
According to a technique called persistent scattered interferometry, we can detect the physical displacement, the physical distortion of large infrastructures with respect to time. So, according to a persistent observation of critical infrastructures, we can perform infrastructure monitoring. Okay, we can use radar and synthetic aperture radar also for monitoring the oil extraction in order. Why? Because maybe we are observing this place of the earth. Here we have through the oil plant extraction. While we are extracting the oil, we can see that the surface of the earth, we have a subsidence, millimetric displacement of, because we are emptying this pocket. And so we are, it is possible to observe also the monitoring, let's say like that, the oil extraction. Okay, so this, since now I explained to you the state of the art of radar, and here we are maybe in 2019, where with Corrado Balaglia, we were studying in detail the pyramid. This is a radar image, two radar images of the pyramid. We can see that the nature of the images of radar that is different with respect to normal optical images, but we can consider that these are very good photographs. And the just an example, there are two types of image projection: high layover and low layover effects. So the we noticed this, that every photograph is affected by motion. Okay, nothing is firm. Everything, it moves, everything. So we tried to estimate these movements here, that is naturally embedded inside the synthetic aperture radar images. Doing this, why we wanted to do this? Because vibrations, we noticed that the Doppler information that we use to focus synthetic aperture radar images recast inside the acoustic bandwidth, which is very important because acoustic information penetrates very much the matter. And so we were interested to watch inside the matter. We used a software that was based on the so-called Doppler subaperture. Through here, we have we started from raw data. We designed some filters. Here we have the frequency, and azimuth frequency and the range frequency. The range frequency that determines the range resolution that was captured entirely. We made some blanking on the azimuth orbital information, and then we produced this sliding window in the frequency in order to transform a static image into a frame rate having a lower azimuth resolution. Doing this, why we did this? Standard sub-processing methods are basic upon the so-called stop and go approximation. It means that here we go back. If the target that is located on the Earth moves, in this case not with a millimetric physical displacement, but with a sub millimetric displacement, so it means also 1 micron of physical motion. In this case, the radar will record this information in terms of Doppler centroid anomalies. Okay,
So in this case, we found a method to transform electromagnetic impulses, so the physicists call these photons, into something that are recast inside the acoustic information.
Photons.
Yes. Sound. Okay.
Goes my slipper.
If you have some question, you will just you can also interrupt. So we found also that there is a photon-phonon interaction, because everything transmitted with electromagnetic energy and interacts with matter, this interaction will produce, yes, a backscattering energy inside through the receiver of the radar, but also the production of physical vibrations. Okay? That is very important. So we have designed a method to transform the information that has a light nature, an electromagnetic nature, into vibrations. So this is a vinyl reader here that I am very interested in vinyls. In this case, the electromagnetic transmissions can be associated to this device here, and the vinyl that turns is the Earth. Okay, so this is very important. Okay, our technique, I put this slide not to say the community that we have patented this technique that transforms electromagnetic waves into acoustic information, but we have submitted the patent in Malta. So that's all it is. Okay. The first experiments that we have done using this technique were devoted to perform infrastructure monitoring. That is very important. We go back in 2019, where in Italy collapsed a very important and, let's say, historic bridge, which was located in Genoa, the Morandi Bridge. When the Morandi Bridge collapsed because assumed a very dangerous resonance frequency due to a storm, no? We found that the technique that recasted the state of the art in synthetic aperture radar, so persistent scatterers interferometry, could be failed in performing bridge monitoring. So we had to design a new method to find anomalies, depression anomalies on bridges. And so we found this. Look, here we have accumulation of energy, which are vibrational energy accumulation, where the cracks on the bridge are present. Then we moved also, this is a radar image that is overlapped to a Google Earth image. And here we find the backscattering deformation due to the cables, the high voltage electric cables. And so we tested this method in order to estimate the vibration, the 50 Hertz vibration. I don't know if you never go under the PLC, you say the report. You are saying the report. Yes. The listening of this noise, it means that you have a physical vibration of the matter. A stiff physical vibration has been detected by radar, and we have the physical vibration that we have measured from the space. This is the spectrum of the physical vibrations that recast perfectly inside the 50 Hertz, into the 50 Hertz of the electric lines. Okay. So our technique is also able to perform activities like
crude oil pockets detection, because this is a prospection of the Earth, below the Earth. These are, here we don't have the legend, but it is 5 kilometers, it is below the Earth, so it is very sensible to go below the Earth, and these are the stratification that we found of the soil stratification. And this is a vertical crack of the Earth, so this is very important, just to show you the potentiality of our technique. So I show you that our technique is extremely oriented to science, began in laboratory. This is my garage, and I show you that there is some wine here, but it's here. We have some mess, no, that is inside my garage, and so we did a simulation. We started from some water, a camera, and a computer. And here we have an initial image of our satellite. And then we have the dark. This is the Earth. We have some, let's call some space where we don't have matter. So matter, not matter, and matter. And here we have, this is the vibration generator. And this is the camera that catches the images. And so we began to perform vibrations, no? And these vibrations put the water into motion. We recorded this motion. So this is the raw data of the vibration. And this raw data has been focused in order to retrieve the picture of what things underneath. So we can retrieve the shape of the table, and these things that cast us on all this target that we are to performing the images. Okay, so from the laboratory we passed to the space. Once that we knew that what was possible to retrieve the acoustic information of what was below the water, we passed to make some experiments by using satellite. So this is, we moved to United States. This is the Carlin Tunnel that is located in United States. We have several tunnels, and we tried to watch, to follow the inside this mountain, the tunnel, okay? And here we started to perform some images of what was present below the Earth and inside the mountain here, and here. This is the picture of the tunnel that we are depicting from space. Look how it is clear, the representation of the railway tunnel that is inside the Carrib Mountain. Okay? Then we move also on another target. This is an important mountain that is located in Abruzzo, where I'm born, in L'Aquila. And that's my city. And inside the Gran Sasso, this is nearly 3,000 meters tall, 2,994 meters tall. And in the core of this mountain, there is a physics laboratory. The physics laboratory is characterized to have vibrational tools inside, ventilators, machines, so the true uses vibration.
This is the schematic representation of the laboratory, and we concentrated our attention on this here. This is an interferometer of laser that is inside the aura. I give you the representation of the mountain. This is the tomographic hour. It is one of the first tomographies that we have retrieved. So you are seeing it a bit noisy there. But inside the mountain, we can observe that there is the, it is called tratto del traforo del Gran Sasso. It is the piece of tratto, the tunnel that passes inside the mountain, and here we have the depiction of the laboratory here, the laboratory, and this is the interferometer. So it is scientifically proved that our technique it works, because in this presentation I've stressed everyone to take attention that we started from laboratory and we are passing now to the space. Okay. So then we have moved to scan inside other things, other infrastructures. This is, we go back again to the Mosul Dam. This is the optical image of the Mosul Dam. So we can pay attention about the difference standing between an optical image and a radar image. It is still an image, yes, but it is different because it is black and white, a bit more ugly, a different projection of the images. But I can assure you that this data is more rich with respect to the optical bar. Then we have applied this technique in order to scan inside this infrastructure. This is infrastructure is has been mantenuto, how you say?
Maintained.
That's all. Has been maintained by an Italian company, which is called the Tremi. And they performed concrete injection on the on this infrastructure. We can notice that inside this infrastructure there is a tunnel here that passes through from one side to the other side of the dam. So this we are detecting the tunnel below the structure. We are detecting the concrete injection that made the Trevi company made to in order to stabilize the dam, and then we are also detecting the inside fusions, electrical fusion, the turbines that are inside the dam, because it is also an electric power plant. This we are located inside here. An electric power plant, and so we can see that it is possible to refine very, very precisely the shape of, in this piece, this is a Kepler turbine. We have two kinds of turbine. A Kepler turbine, which is a vertical turbine, and also another kind of turbine, I think it's called the Francis turbine, that is horizontal. This is the Kepler turbine. And also this other turbine here, that is this. I have to move a bit far away because you may see it back. This is the Francis turbine. Okay, this is the tomographic scan of inside what it is inside the Mosul Dam. And so here, this is an augmentation that we made together with Corrado. So, we are moving slowly and to arriving into Giza, because we have to know where we have, from where we have started and where we are going to arrive.
So we moved also to scan inside very huge mountains on the Alps, which is the Gotthard Tunnel, and we have detected the pieces of the Gotthard Tunnel, which is a railway tunnel here, using this technique. Yeah, to here, by that.
Okay. So now this picture was cited by Joe Rogan because it was published by Stacy Liberatore that she writes for the Daily Mail. And because in the press conference that we made in Bologna, we gave the attention about the known structures that we, because we are concentrating in depicting the known structures that are underneath by our technique. This is the Osiris shaft. The Osiris shaft has this particular shape. We have a multilayer shape, and according to this slideshow, we can detect very precisely the shoot of the Osiris shaft. And we are watching according to these tomographic results, he can understand therefore that the Osiris shaft is going down more with respect to the scam that we know that can be. Okay? And we can see this enormous structure here that is located 2.5 times more deep with respect to the known structure of the Osiris shaft. Yes.
So I have a quick question.
Yes.
So we live in Egypt.
Yes.
And we have spent an extensive amount of time on the Giza Plateau, and I've been in the Osiris shaft on a number of occasions.
Yes.
So the Osiris shaft runs below the causeway that leads from the central pyramid down to the Sphinx. Can you explain where is the causeway on this image?
What's the causeway?
The causeway is the connection from the eastern temple adjacent to the central pyramid that runs down to the Sphinx.
Yes.
So the causeway is a limestone structure that's made of both bedrock and large blocks of limestone that connects the central pyramid down into the Sphinx.
So this causeway in which that is located?
Surface.
So the surface is this. The surface,
correct.
We have enhanced the view of this. I will send you the original. This is very important. This question is very important because I show you other results where we see this limestone that you are saying. Thank you for giving me this question.
I have many more. So, now let me ask a secondary question. So the causeway itself is visible on other scan data, but this one is calibrated to subsurface structures.
Exactly.
Okay.
You aim me at the risk because you are English, and so I sure can tell you this.
And I'm happy to help.
A bit difficult.
Yes.
If you bet that this itself has been tuned in order to watch only the things that are below, underneath, and we have cancelled this because they produce aberration. So you watch only that because it is very high in terms of energy, of vibrational energy. Okay.
Okay. Second question.
Yes.
Can you explain, so according to the conventional archaeology,
yes,
the Osiris shaft is unique in its descending down into the bedrock.
Yes.
So it's the only feature that is known on the Giza Plateau.
Yes.
Adjacent to the causeway that goes underground.
Yes.
So in your image, what is the signature on the left?
This one.
Correct.
This one.
What is that?
Yes.
We have to. It is a
find out.
New. Something new.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes. Whoa.
Okay. So I will say that along the causeway,
yes,
so there is a transverse passage that runs from north to south below the causeway that is the opening and entrance into the Osiris shaft. And there are several other of these transverse openings on both sides of the causeway in several different areas. So that it's certainly possible that there is something there.
Yes. Yeah, we track precisely all these objects by observing not only one scan, but different scans. Yes. Okay?
Okay. So now my final question for this point.
Yes.
So at level 4, that is where the Osiris shaft,
yes,
taps into a subterranean aquifer.
Yes.
That is the water table below that particular structure.
Awesome.
And I believe that it's an independent aquifer. We have chemical analysis data that shows that it's somewhat salt water. It's brackish water, has a very small content of sodium chloride. So it's an independent aquifer that's located directly below the Osiris shaft.
Yes.
How does the water table, and this has been one of the main criticisms levied against the technology, is the inability to scan below the water table. So how can you just clarify a little bit, yes, what we're detecting there below the third chamber, yes, and how the water table might affect those interpretations?
Thank you for this question, which I don't give you in this slide the exact answer, because as I told you before, we have enhanced some colors in order to make you see the exact shape of the Osiris shaft. But I give you in your the answer of your question in the other tomographies that I will show you, and I show you the difference between what there is, let's say, dry, and then the things that are below the water. And I will tell you the physical, and I will show you, I will demonstrate you the physical phenomena that happens.
Okay, very good.
Then I have a question.
Thank you, bye.
How did it create that hole under it?
I please ask you to repeat it. Di qua c'è...
Sotto, come si è creato quel buco?
Vista? This, ok. This is an anomaly in terms of vibrational energy, okay? Because below the Earth, there is something so hard that resonates a lot and gives us on the top high energy. This is a manipulation of colors. You will see it black, but in reality it's red. High energy.
Yeah, it's fine. So one more quick question. So related to that topic.
Yeah.
So on the Giza Plateau, there are a variety of different mineral deposits,
yes,
in the bedrock of the Giza Plateau,
yes,
with different densities.
Yes.
Are the readings of the radar technology,
yes,
capable of picking up different densities, yes, of material? For example, like you were saying, the big signature at the bottom of this image is picking something that possibly has a greater density,
yes,
than the surrounding limestone.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, I think this is also very important in understanding what's happening on the Giza Plateau, because there's significant mineral deposits specifically related to iron ore minerals that are below all of these structures. Okay, so another question. I want to be able to understand this. So, for example, when we're looking at this raw data here, are we looking north to south or east,
yes,
to west?
It is my fault. It is my fault, because We have a compiling a scientific article that will be accessible in pre-brief very soon. And here, purposely, I did not put north, south, east, west, because we are recasting precisely the coordinates, so we are scanning the old tomographies, and so we have to still put the coordinates, and here we put the height and the coordinates. It is my fault that I did not put the coordinates.
Okay, so again, I'm trying to...
But sir, I remember, I remember this, let's say, the Khafre pyramid, there is the Sphinx.
Yes.
The Osiris shaft, I think, is here. I'm not right. very expert,
correct.
But I think it's here.
Yes.
So the tomographic line is like that, okay, east okay. and west.
So this image is looking north from south.
Yes.
Yes.
Also
with the causeway running west to east along the top.
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
I'm sorry if I had...
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. Be prepared for more. And I'm sure you have the answers.
Thank you very much.
Yes, this is very good. Okay. Please end it.
Can I Here we show we also past results concerning, but I show you this because this, I think we saw, everyone saw these results, but only to show you other validation on known structures. So this is the Z, the tomographic result of the Z that is present inside the non pufogueras. Okay?
But for more of us,
and then this target here, and I say today, this is the very famous corridor, short corridor, 9 meters, I think, is long. Yes, 9 meters corridor. That Professor Zapiawas discovered inside the small book. Yes, the Shekom. So at the below, yes, behind the Shekom. Okay. And then you can see inside in the videos that shows the camera inside this short corridor, there is a room.
Yes.
So, a room, is it the ruin? Here, there is a roof. Okay? So, when the Professor Zagiawas, we discovered the room, here there is the video, days, which day is today?
For free, it is
14.
This is the room. Okay? Okay. Yes.
So, on the image...
With
on...
the seats is locked.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have 100 questions. So on the image on the bottom left,
right,
we can see a signature indicating this. that entire image.
This is the big void.
The big void. Yes, that's what I thought.
The big void. This is the big void.
Correct. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So we can see a signature there highlighting the area around the Queen's Chamber.
This is the right trick.
We have a good signature
yes.
from the radar showing the Queen's Chamber.
Yes.
Why is there not a signature detecting the Grand Gallery?
Okay. I tell you the answer.
Okay.
Please watch the video of Professor Emilio Del Giudice. Emilio Del Giudice.
I was huge.
Emilio Del Giudice.
Okay.
That once somebody told him, Professor, why? I don't remember the question. Okay? He gave this answer. Why? Why? E perché? E perché Trigadendra?
Pie?
Trigadendra.
Trigadendra. What a question and take the answer.
You don't have the answer of any question. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Good. Okay. It's okay. It's the same thing. Yes.
Okay.
And it is a mark of a good scientist to be able to admit when you don't have the answer to any specific question. I've heard it proposed that it's due to the angle and the orientation of the Grand Gallery.
It's due to the angle, to the figurative graphic line. I have a lot of tomographies where you see very well the Grand Gallery. Here, you don't see. I was sorry.
It's okay, so. No, I'm just, again,
I'm sorry, to... I'm telling very sorry, not to you. Yeah. But because it's like that, science is like that. You don't always observe things that you expect to observe.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I tried you. We have to do 60 slides, but it's important to stress in this. I want to remember Italian scientist Enrico Fermi. Enrico Fermi used to say this. De Ettore, to Ettore Majoran. De Ettore, because he was his scholar, Ettore Majoran. De Ettore. When you perform a measurement, and your results are compliant to your expectation, you did the measurement.
Right.
But if your measurement are not compliant to your expectation, you performed a discovery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, this is the short corridor in where we are. Allora, we respect a lot Professor Giuseppe Awas. We respect a lot the paper that they published after our duplication. We tried it with him, but he did it try. Apps is not wrong. Just to say, on parle, okay? On parle. So I show you other things that we are doing. We are working on. We moved to work on Khafre pyramid, but also we are working also on other things here that we are fetching, we are finding, and you would appreciate these things on a simple scientific article. And so we can do now a short recast of what we had at the end. We will show you new things. Absolutely. And I still have to give you the answer of your question about the water that is underneath. So this is the initial tomographies that we made on the Khafre pyramid here, here, and here. And we just began starting in watching some structures that we didn't know anything about the shape and what to were these structures here. At continuum, this is the datum here. The datum is the surface of the Earth. These were the initial tomographies that we was performing on the Khafre pyramid. But inside there was some black red targets that we could detect inside this infrastructure. But going deeper inside the processing, so passing the time, we was able to detect other detailed structure located inside the pyramid, but not below the earth, from the bedrock to the top of the pyramid. This is an horizontal scan that we performed. Interpolated to several vertical scans that we made of the Khafre pyramid, and so with Corrado, this you can see this on the video of the conference that we made in Bologna, where Corrado explains very well this procedure that we did. So I don't want to repeat things that we just we, but it is important to stress this. Only to remark the fact that we are using the scientific
approach, so to track into into space, to track into space the targets. Okay, so let's say target one from here, we recognize it here. Target three from here, we recognize it here. One, two. So we can track into the space the different targets. Okay. Here we move on this tomography that I like it to propose you. This is Capella Space. Capella Space is an American SAR company, and here we are scanning the entire depthness of the Khafre pyramid. So here we have the datum is here on the top, like that. So maybe here. So from the top to here is what the other pyramid? 100, 137. Actually, not in the original. So 137. And how many 137 in order of depthness you have from the top to the datum and so scanning below? Here we are detecting the pillars here from the top to the ground here, like that and like that. And you can notice from who is far away from this screen that there is a spiralator here that attracted our attention about the pillars. That's very important, like that. Look, here it is absolutely visible in here, like that. Okay. Come?
No,
grazie. Perché mi piace. And here also, you can see this nature like that, turning. It is very important, this. Okay? They are brothered, yes, I know. We can't have perfect images, very detailed images. We are watching things from space, from 600 kilometers of quota, of height. Okay. Here are some the dates about the five Zs yes.
So you mentioned before that when this technology is implemented for detecting geological reservoirs of petroleum,
yes,
the radar can detect the subsurface strata fluctuations of the densities of the bedrock.
Yes.
If you go back one slide,
yes,
is it possible that this is also a signature of bedrock density or geological strata?
No, okay. Because the previous image that I show you was made with the part of the software tailored to have that.
Okay.
This is tailored to have the retrieval of the let's call it, alternation of high density, low density. High density is different. It's a part of the software that is different. Okay, so it's tailored to have this. I don't know if I explain.
Okay, so the software that generates this image,
yes,
is calibrated to eliminate the fluctuations that would occur in the bedrock and to detect things that are abnormal within the bedrock.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's a good point. And yes, because I can calibrate a software to find the structure, the map structure, and I can calibrate the software to use it for to detect pockets of through the oil to make other things. This calibrated software in order to find that kind of nature of the targets that are located underneath. Okay, here we go back again
from the datum to the top, so we are inside the Khafre pyramid, and only to show you some details of the structures that we found inside, that are like layers, no? So they can be we can think to be similar of the Z that is to be inside the group of pyramid. But here a bit less, maybe, but something like that. But it is very important that these structures are connected directly to the shards, but that they are connected. They are encapsulated. Okay? Here we are counting also five layers that are composing these structures.
Yeah.
And the dots of that can be that heads there.
Yes. Okay, so I have another question, and I apologize for all of my questions, but I have been pretty diligent in studying both your initial paper from 2022 and also the new findings. And one of the criticisms of the new findings, so in the image on the left, for example,
yes,
we should also expect to see the Belzoni chamber,
yes,
the lower chamber,
yes,
and the series of connecting shafts that link those. Those chambers are excavated directly from the bedrock limestone of the Giza Plateau, yes, with the exception of the ceiling beams of the Belzoni chamber, which are limestone masonry blocks.
Yes.
Can you clarify what is the explanation for the software not detecting the known chambers at this stage? And I saw, Armando, you had made a post on Facebook regarding the potential of a, quote, limestone slab that may be different from the bedrock limestone of the Giza Plateau itself, that was somehow interfering with the signal and the detection of the known chambers. So again, there should be two chambers visible somewhere in the image. Can you elaborate a little bit more about the detection of the known chambers and why you think that might be the case, that we are able to see those in these images?
I will thank you for this question.
Yes.
I promise. I will make you a draw. I mean, we'll make a promise. Oops. Everyone, we will ask ourselves how much time physicists inside the Gran Sasso laboratory, for how much time, are trying to observe the Majorana Neutrino. They know that there is, but they can't observe it. Okay. This is only to tell you that expectation on measurements are not always satisfied. And maybe the answer to my question can be given by Sabine. Okay, Sabine will give you the answer. Okay, but this is the premise. But now I give you the answer. We found two tomograms where I don't have it here. And I'm sorry, but I will send it to you via email, where Corrado found the Belzoni chamber. The Belzoni chamber is a bit small. And in Italy we say, non se poca va sangue da una rapa. It means death. It is not possible to extract blood from la bava e barbabietola, okay?
A picture.
Okay. It means that
when you intend to expect a result from a measurement, sometimes you will never find that measurement. That's why I am citing the physicists. So, because they are fetching the neutrino Majorana. I'm still waiting it. And so Sabine will give you the answer.
I don't have it here, and I'm sorry if I don't. I don't have it. I'm sorry. That the bedrock.
So why it is sometimes UL, sometimes not, depending on the configuration of the software or.
It depends on the orientation of the tomographic line.
Okay.
It depends on a lot of things.
Also, the different satellites could give you different
satellites.
Because we have it and we don't have it because of the orientation of the tomographic line principle.
Okay, maybe like that you don't observe, you observe nothing. Maybe if you move a bit the tomographic line, boom, it is favorable to have also the pezzo.
Absolutely.
How long does it take to teleport image?
We were in telepathy,
because the problem is, okay, why don't you use a tomographic line where you can see the Belzoni chamber? Yes, I know, but to have this result, we have to spend 3 weeks, no? And in 3 weeks, I forgot also how to, because we have to do pixel by pixel scan, in order to have the Bezos in 3 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 weeks, and how much time I have to wait, okay? But I have it, and I will show it to you. Okay. Okay. Other results, only to show you the pillars that are going. Why we are not watching 8 pillars? Because we have to scan tomographic lines for tomographic lines, you know, in order to see inside, in all dimensions, inside the matter. But to reach into these results, we have to spend efforts in terms of processing time. And as we said earlier with Corrado, we are doing this without money. Okay, we have only 2 computers, I have, and they're off. So I'm sorry. I go a bit faster, just to show you other results where we are depicted, the pillars. I want to concentrate these things on the pillars, because these pillars, I like them a lot. So it's and they go below the head, where we are seeing structures that are characterized to have angular 90 degrees angular shaped
structures, yeah, below the dirt.
Okay,
but now I show you other things. This is Caffre, yes.
The pillars you mentioned, they are in water or there is water in them?
I collect your question and I answer when together to you and to you, because I show you the results where the water is taken into account, probably, because here you are doing measurements with a certain probability, because measurement, it means statistics.
Where is the engineer? Yeah, the PhD.
Okay. This is Caffre. I show you the pillars of Caffre. So, this is Caffre. Tomographic line. Here we have the orientation. 1, 1, 2, and 2. These are the pillars that we are detecting. This is the surface, the limestone. How you say?
The set, yeah, yes.
That's the one.
Please ask me the question, Filippo. Why we are not seeing the top of the pyramid of light? I also care this. this second question, because we are using a particular SAR image where we have a very exaggerated layover of effect of the pyramid. So where we have an exaggerated layover of the pyramid, we are not watching the top of the pyramid, but it is tailored to scan very extremely underneath. Okay? That's very important. So here we have the pillars, and here we are concentrating our with Corrado in these days to this part of the pillars and this one and two. Here we have the pillars, and we have the alt the spiral nature, and we have a core on the center of the pillars here, very important. Okay. At later, the core of the also of the shaft, and here we have the nature, speed and nature of this. So this is another answer that I give personal to, my personal answer that I give into Satine. Very well. Okay. Water and water. Look here how bright is this. Here. And then the brightness with this collapsing abruptly. Okay? Probably here, from here, begins the water. Probably. Here.
And how are you sure about this?
We have to dig and go and measure directly. This is the only section that we can do.
And they allow you to do it.
Let's see.
Armando is going to live in Egypt. They are going to Egypt, they are moving to Egypt.
Whoa.
He will help us to do this.
If they don't really,
he will go deep inside.
Mando, you can send me down. No worry. I have no fear. I can go.
Look, water. Look here. Please take photos about this. Here we have everything. Come si chiama San Mando? The limestone. Layover at the layover. No, I'm saying this for the debunkers, not for you. Limestone pillars. This is a panoramic view of what we are watching: water and the collapse of energy, because the water absorbs the energy. Okay. Yes. And here we have the rooms that we have announced to the press conference. One and two. This is very important. Look here. We have a form, a augmentation of the software, because now we are processing also the polarimetric information. The polarimetric information is takes into account also the orientation, the physical orientation of vibration. In this term, electromagnetic waves are polarized. Polarization indicates the orientation of the electric component field of the electromagnetic waves. So we can have electromagnetic waves vertical, horizontal, and also circular as we want. Okay? SAR images are also polarimetric in the electromagnetic sense. Here we have made our tomographies polarimetric in the vibrational sense. So it means that the vibration, you can have horizontal polarized vibration, vertical polarized vibration, or other kind of polarization. And according to this, we have installed
we are showing the vibrations on three channels, three polarization, horizontal, vertical, and oblique. Okay. And here we have the targets.
Sorry, so the figure is like a thermal freeze.
See. Yes, yes. This is a color composite code, the so-called Pauli representation of the information. I told you this evening is highly academic, this lecture. So thank you for the questions that you made. It's, I appreciate a lot also of your questions. But here is important. But abrupt, you have an abrupt degradation of the energy where we are observing the pillars here. I think that this is the confia, as it is. The body of the sun, the water, of the water. I'm sorry because I'm also a bit tired.
It's better because all the AC, I guess. It's a big topic.
Hafna Taria, the music.
Ai.
So. Menkaure. Pillars. And room. 1.2 kilometers below Menkaure.
1.2.
Menkaure, spiral nature. Here. And the room, please catch a photo here. The room, yeah. Below Menkaure, Jane. Yeah, you have the room.
Don't go here.
I have a question.
1.2 kilometers.
How big is this room?
This is light Menkaure. Light Menkaure.
Well, the size of Menkaure, yes.
Is it the size? Yes.
Oh, that's big.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How did they manage to build it? How they?
At the end of this
question.
You are wonderful.
Is the best. You do research. He is an actor.
Okay, so spiral nature, the room, it is 100% visible. This is the room. Then here you have the limestone and the layol at the pyramid. Okay? So for the markers, why you are seeing that? Because here you have the layover effect too, okay?
Any question?
I have feeling, idea feeling. Ah, okay, yes. Yes. I'm sorry.
On the prior picture, those little areas that are way, 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 way down below, do you know about how big they would be? The areas that are no. The
orange areas that are
he these.
No.
Orange.
These. Go down.
These.
See those areas. Is there any speculation on
yes.
So what would be the
how large or at which depthness?
How large the buoys yes. are or the areas are.
Thank you for this question. We are studying it, but they are comparable with the largeness with the dimension of Menkaure.
So the change from the size of the pyramid. She said, the chain was big like the pin.
Okay. So that was the space.
You're
insane.
Okay.
That's cool.
Thank you for this match,
It's pretty cool.
And that's an interesting observation, because what you're saying is that there's an area way, way down below, I'm not sure exactly how far that represents.
1.2 kilometers. What?
Long ways.
If, yeah.
Once they take us.
A totally open air.
Yes.
Wow. Another, this is old tomograms that we did. Mencabre, Mencabre, peanuts, and room of Mencabre. This is, please ask me the question, why you are not watching the abrupt variation? Because we have tuned the software to eliminate that that effect of the water, and so we have this in order to enhance. We wanted to see how many pillars we have detecting.
Yes.
So, side question.
Yeah.
We've mentioned several times in the series of presentation a structure known as the Tomb of the Birds, NC2, which is the opening into a tunnel and cave network that runs below the Giza Plateau. This was explored in the very early 1900s, and they have stated that this tunnel system runs from the northwestern corner of the plateau and follows all the way below the central pyramid. This was by Sultan Kamidlia, the early explorations.
Yes.
Have you turned the software onto the Tomb of the Bird tunnel system to corroborate the distance and depth of that tunnel and cave system? Because I, as well as many other researchers like Andrew Collins, believe that the Tomb of the Birds and NC2 are one of the access points into the subterranean system below Giza.
We are working. We are working.
Nice. Good.
We are one.
And I've been inside of that complex on a number of occasions, and it definitely goes further than we are able to currently explore in the lowest depths of the tunnel system. Yes.
Thank you for the invitation. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you, everyone, for the invitation.
And thank you.
Thank you, Filippo.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To share your knowledge.
Thanks.
I don't know. This is before. I think is the last one, so I don't know. Yes, this is very important because we make a recap, no? We make a recap of everything. We are linking. Here we are watching several things: the spiral nature of the shafts, presence of the shafts. Spiral nature of the shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look here. Look the sinusoid here. Look. For Sabine. This is for Sabine. J. For Sabine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rooms. This is the 3D that Corrado made. It's not in scale. It's not in scale, this. So this has to be only to show how it is.
Think you just answered a very important question. So there's also been some curiosity for the extrapolation from the data into the 3D model. So who was responsible for interpreting the data?
All the team.
And creating
something. All the team.
So the 3D model is not AI generated.
No.
It's done by your team.
Filippo Corrado and Armando Generale.
Okay, so you study the data and then build the 3D model yourselves.
Humans
build
the 3D model. From the scans to the 3D model. We use AI only to try and retrieve some that we had it also very high, some probabilities. Their AI, we in which probability we are watching this
the AI gave us the probability. Okay? Yes.
Have you had any other organization that you've worked with to vet your software?
I'm sorry, yeah. Have you had other organizations?
Any other organization that would you try to bet yourself?
Yes, yes.
And work with it.
Thank you very much. This is very important, this. A foundation, VEIT, mandato, come si dice?
Stent.
Yes.
Professor Howard Zepker. Full professor, it's in Perica Bachelor of Stanford University to replicate the build developer. Okay?
So they're working on replicating your software?
Yes.
Yes.
On the Giza Plateau or just elsewhere?
Just replicating the methods.
I think they would, the methods are bad.
Just a
want to go on.
Was to prove.
Just yes. to prove that they're
Oh, Stanford.
If you are, I don't know.
Stanford is working to replicate the method that we are watching now this evening mold.
Oh.
I think that I am a bit tired.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Why? You are. Why? I'm
just thinking about it. Question.
I am a destroyer.
Would you like to mess a bit?
Let's see. Okay. Now you can ask me, yes, because I gave the item for finish. No, it's not finished.
Because there is a very important thing that I have to show you.
You have time? You have time?
Of course, we came for you.
Maybe I came for these years.
We are collaborating with Trevor Grassi that I check here, and I thank him because he's a good guy. And we are also trying it because we are working on all Giza. Okay. We know that in Giza there are shafts that are visible from the surface. I've never been in on Giza. I work on Giza at home in Corciano, Perugia, where I live. But I wish to go one day, Lisa. Alors, Trevor gave me this image where he shows several shafts that goes from the surface, goes below the earth, underneath. We found with our tonograms that there are three places here, A1, A2, and A3, that are massively full of shafts. Here we can see them also from Google Earth. But here and here, no, because they, in my personal opinion, this is all in my personal opinion, these structures are postumi, sono state costruite post pyramid. So they just covered the entrance of these shafts, these and these shafts here. They are visible. Ta-da! Shaft. If you live there, you see the shafts are blocked at a certain level. This one in particular, let's say tomographic lines, and ta-da, the shaft goes
under. Go down. Another 1,200.
Yes. One thing that's interesting, so we live in Egypt,
yeah,
and we've spent literally hundreds of hours on the Giza Plateau.
Yeah.
So if you go back one slide, the area called the Western Field, where all of those mastabas are located.
Yes.
If you climb on top of those mastabas, you can still see down into those shafts. So if you look on each one of those little rectangles, there is one shaft in each one of those rectangular structures that goes down into the bedrock.
Yes.
If you can climb on top of us and see that, isn't it?
We are measuring that.
Yes, yes.
We will publish these results.
And on your next slide.
And this is a validation.
Correct. Those vertical shafts are also connected via transverse horizontal shafts, which is what you can see there. So this is very interesting.
This was an network.
Correct.
And below, we have part of Amenti. Uh-huh. So we can go here, make a so-called un cantiere. Come si dice? No, a safety cantiere.
You don't need to
Work. No, you need to dig because they are tapped.
A construction
work. We will make something like a
one site,
a safety working site, no? And to go down, we can go down here. Look, this is very simple. Here is tapped. Look, here. But after this, it's not tapped anymore. And go down, 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 and arrive here. And you can watch inside this room that is full of things. Yeah. Come and see.
It's full of things. The Hansen server. Yeah, it's very good. Space. Ma.
Wonderful.
Ben, do you want to know? Sets.
They are also there. There is another tree. See, in a set. Cheap, bro.
Okay. So I told you there is something new.
Yes. With this evidence, it seems like it's going to be impossible for traditional Egyptologists to maintain that this is built by Khufu and Khafre.
I mean, I ask you to repeat.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Did that reach up?
With this evidence that you presented today, it seems like it's going to be impossible for traditional Egyptologists to continue to maintain that these structures were 4th dynasty built by Khufu and Khafre and Menkaure. That would be my conclusion.
Yep.
Yes.
Your question has the answer.
Yeah.
She's embedded with the answer.
In my personal opinion, the only answer is excavation.
Yeah.
We want to have the permits to drill on the Giza Plateau and to discover or to see, to watch with our eyes what lies beneath the pyramids. So we want the permits to go there and to start the excavation and to explore the networks beneath the buildings. This is the only answer.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Thank
you. Please. And this is the 3D model that we are working on with Corrado Malanga, our professor. I tell you that the work is absolutely not finished, and then I will tell you, we will recast the agenda of the meetings that we are having from now into 1 year, where I think that one of the most important meeting, it was Malta here, because here you are showing this.
Yeah.
And Emotisa is showing it.
That's right.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an honor. It's a big honor.
And here I show you the last.
Yeah. No way.
And now this is the house.
Is it Christmas for them? Huh? It's Christmas. This is Father Noel.
Amazing.
And so, guys, but you have done here, this. What does it do? Central Pyramid.
No, this is.
One.